Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Hell yeah! Yeah, right!
Along with your co-host, Dave Bevan, on this Thursday, February 11th. We've got a lot to talk about today in this show, and joining us a little bit later on in this podcast will be the father of Ole Miss quarterback Shea Patterson, Shaw Patterson Sr. Will join us for just a little bit, and we'll talk a little bit about Shea. We'll talk about another one of his sons, Sean Patterson Jr., who is an assistant, a recruiting assistant on the Ole Miss staff, as well as there's another Patterson kid coming up in eighth grade, a kid by the name of Nick Patterson, and he's one to watch. So we'll look forward to talking to Sean in just a few minutes. But right off the bat, let's get topical here with the NCAA investigation regarding the Ole Miss athletics program. And Ross Bjork coming out yesterday in an interview with the Clarion Ledger, basically saying, look, this is over. The NCAA has completed its investigation at Ole Miss. Ole Miss has 90 days to respond to the notice of allegations issued by the NCAA. Then following that 90-day period, if the two parties aren't on the same page, the NCAA has a 60-day period in which things can kind of be arbitrated and mediated before final findings are released. But the good news is, Ross Bjork confirming that the investigation is complete. He also confirmed that there is no second investigation that he is aware of, and certainly he would be aware of it if there were a second letter notice of allegations issued by the NCAA. So that is good news for Ole Miss fans right now. Some of the details starting to come out in this cloud that's been lingering. Of course, much of it has to do with some of it has to do with Laramie Tunsil, and everyone's certainly aware of that situation with the loaner car and the fact that that cost Laramie seven games. There's another player involved in a car loan situation. That player has already served his suspension as well. And then some of the things coming out this morning, Herbert Moore involved in this prior to his arrival at Ole Miss, receiving what the NCAA considers some improper benefits by catching a ride to say the BBVA Compass Bowl in Birmingham with a gentleman associated with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes in Memphis. Not an Ole Miss booster, no one associated with the Ole Miss program, but still considered a violation. So all of that stuff's kind of coming to light. And to be honest with you, they say sunshine is the best disinfectant, and I think that's the case for this whole situation with Ole Miss and the NCAA as well, in that, you know, the more light they shed on it, I think the better Ole Miss fans can feel about things and do away with all of this, what I call quasi-media terrorism. That is being put out in some quarters trying to, I suppose, make a molehill. And I'm not saying it's a molehill. It's serious when the NCAA is investigating you. But trying to make a bigger mountain out of this than what it actually is going to end up being. And that's kind of been my opinion the entire time. Obviously, when you're talking about an NCAA investigation, there's legal counsel involved on both sides, and Ole Miss has been somewhat prohibited in what they can say about this, Dave. But at the end of the run here, I just don't believe, and I don't think anybody in the know at Ole Miss believes, that this is going to do any kind of damage to the momentum that Hugh Freeze has built with the Ole Miss football program. And something that must be underscored that Ross Bjork made perfectly clear in his interview with the Clarion Ledger on Wednesday was that the NCAA has found zero wrongdoings on the part of head coach Hugh Freeze. And I think that's something that's very important moving forward, as well as Bjork confirmed the NCAA found no lack of institutional control, which is the most major charge that you can get. That is not there. So moving forward now, things look a little bit better now that the picture is a little bit clearer in regards to Ole Miss and this NCAA investigation. Now they just want to put the wraps on things. Will it be finished by summer? Doubtful. Will it be finished by the time the season starts? It could be, but it may linger into the season. But the bottom line is this is not the nuclear missile that it has been painted to be, Dave.
You're correct, David. And, you know, going back to what you originally said, you know, every Ole Miss fan is glad to hear the words complete, over, done. Every Ole Miss fan is ready to find a resolution to this. And not speaking for them, but I can only assume that Ross Bjork and the coaching staff are, you know, ready to just put this thing behind them. This is a, you know, an ongoing investigation for, you know, over 3 years that is finally put to rest. And what is waiting for now is, you know, Ole Miss's response to the NCAA and then the response back from the NCAA, like you said, you know, before. So we're looking anywhere from, you know, from now up until somewhere around in April of a time frame of where, you know, Ole Miss has that response towards the NCAA. And then, like you said, NCAA has, you know, 60 days to respond back. So and like you said, everything seems, you know, and from my opinion, my perspective, minor. And you know, to you know, have all of this unfold and, you know, such a long ongoing stretch, you know, it with things coming back minor, you can only say, you know, that good. And of course, like you said, you know, anything involving the NCAA is, you know, never good. But, you know, to come out with minor violations would be a plus for the Ole Miss athletics. And then, you know, it just seems like ever since, you know, Ole Miss, you know, head coach Hugh Freeze has, you know, excelled the program up into that next tier in recruiting. And we've mentioned this before, you know, with the football program years past, it was okay for, you know, teams like Alabama, LSU, the USC's to be up there in that top tier. And now Ole Miss is creeping into that, and the football world is not comfortable with that situation. And, you know, Ole Miss has had a target painted on its back over the past several years. And, you know, to see some resolution to this in the horizon is a huge plus.
Well, here's the thing as that Ole Miss fans can kind of, I guess, it'd be glad of this, as you mentioned, for more than 3 years. Very curious, the Ole Miss football program, they NCAA. Loss of scholarships, but I think that's pretty good speculation there that there will probably be a scholarship option. Not expecting anything such as a postseason bowl ban or anything like that. The NCAA doesn't do television bans anymore or anything of that nature. So, you know, I don't want to make this smaller than what it is, but it's probably going to end up being a slight slap on the wrist. And moving forward, you haven't lost the momentum you have as a football program, and look, you're basically getting a clean bill of health from the NCAA, so everybody can shut up with the rumor and the innuendo about Ole Miss cheating and recruiting and all of that stuff, because if the NCAA didn't find it in more than a three-year investigation, I don't believe it's there. And anybody else who keeps pushing that after this finally reaches a final resolution, well, yeah, you know, you're just crazy. And there's some crazy folks out there right now that have been pushing this. And we won't necessarily get into that. Thank goodness it's not within our net. But, network, meaning the 247 Sports Network. I don't think 247 Sports would put up kind of witch hunt reporting that's going on regarding this. And look, not mentioning the guy's been right on some stuff, but I'll have to tell you this, though. You know, when the whole Mississippi State NCAA stuff was going on with Will Redmond and all of that, you didn't see Rebels 247 reporting on that. I don't think you saw a single Ole Miss site reporting on that, much less launching an investigative series on that. Number one, you don't have the time to do that if you're going to cover your team appropriately. And secondly, you know, it's not my story. It's not my story if another school is under an NCAA investigation. So, you know, take all of that for what it's worth right now. And, you know, words, semantics can mean everything. You can make things seem much more dire with the turn of the keyboard a certain direction. But, you know, the guy that you need to believe and the guy you need to listen to is the guy who knows, and that's Ross Bjork. And I think his words, again, through his interview with the Clarion Ledger on Wednesday, probably should be comforting to the Ole Miss fan base. And you know, that's pretty much everything we can say about that at this time. Now, are you going to hear some more banging up the drums about this? Heck yes, you are. Heck yes, you are. You've got a rival inside the state of Mississippi that realizes they've turned loose of the rope, and things are spinning out of control in terms of the competitiveness between the two in-state SEC programs. This is what I'm getting you here. Because win football games in the fall with the games you bring in February, you can see, you'd have to be blind not to see, there is a contrast in the past that the two in-state SEC football programs are on right now, particularly with recruiting. I mean, what does Ole Miss do after winning two Egg Bowls in a row? They go out and get a class that is ranked in most everyone's top five, number six in the 247 Sports team recruiting rankings. And they're just adding on to what they've already started to build here in Oxford. And, you know, there's not that same feeling at Mississippi State. If they had not closed with Jeffrey Simmons on National Signing Day, their class probably would have been rated in the low 40s, mid 40s range. They ended up finishing 35th in the nation. So there's that. And don't think for one second that a lot of that doesn't have to do with a lot of the stuff we're talking about and the reason that this NCAA investigation is in the news so much, because there has been a concerted effort on some of the Mississippi State media to make sure that this is in the news every single day. And so that's what we're looking at on this Thursday, February 11th. And we'll see how everything plays out. But again, Ross Bjork putting out a lot of fires with his interview yesterday with Daniel Pauling at the Clarion Ledger. So that's what we have. I want to remind you, joining us here in a few minutes will be Sean Patterson Sr., the father of Ole Miss quarterback Shea Patterson. Can't wait to get Sean on and ask him some things. We're going to see what he'll tell us after the fact regarding Shea's recruitment. Maybe a couple of wild and funny stories that we might can pull out of Sean this morning. And I'm certainly looking forward to that. Hey, I talked to Grenada four-star safety C.J. Avery last night. The story's up on the front page on Rebels 247 this morning. And C.J. Avery, I talked to him last fall, talked to him a good bit last fall, and there was no doubt Mississippi State was his favorite. I don't know if he went as far as to say the Bulldogs were his leader. That's changed, folks. That has changed big time. C.J. Avery, not ready to name a leader right now, but he did admit Ole Miss has surged to the forefront of his recruitment. So there's an in-state guy to keep an eye on, and he visited Ole Miss last weekend with Clinton, Mississippi running back Cam Akers, which I got to tell you, I think he's one of the best running backs in the country, Dave.
He is, and, you know, he's going to be one of the most sought-after targets in that running back position for the Rebels of the 2017 class. Patterson Sr. has joined the line with us, David. Ready to welcome him to the show?
Yeah, Sean, I appreciate you joining us this morning. It's not like I don't talk to you every other day anyway, but I appreciate you coming on the podcast and giving us your time. And you know, Shea's been on campus now for going on 3 weeks and kind of integrating into that Ole Miss program. What's he telling you about his first 3 weeks as a part of the Ole Miss football team?
Well, first thing, thanks for having me on, and congratulations to Eli for you, Dave, because we've been through this here for a few years together, you know, each other.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have him on the phone too often because he's working so hard that I pretty much get, hey, Dad, love you. I'm tired. I'm going to sleep. The small bits I get from him are that the group of young guys that that came in are a great, hard-working group, and he's just loving it up there. And, of course, if you know Shea, this is the environment that he loves, you know, just, you know, structured with workouts and school and, you know, get up and do it again. And the earlier the better. That's just Shea.
You know, Sean, you bring up the fact that we've been through this a few years together. There's a photo, and I know you have a copy of it, too, of when Eli and Shea were in eighth grade, and they're out in Austin, Texas, playing for the U.S. national team. And they're on opposite teams. Shea is on the red team. Eli's on the white team, but they were both captains for that game, and they're kind of standing across from one another, and it's kind of funny to look back on that. Who would have thought that they would have ended up going to the same college and playing together?
Yeah, it goes quick. It goes quick.
It definitely does. Well, look, you and I were talking a little bit earlier this morning, and Dave Bevin, my co-host here, wrote a story last night on David Adams, the linebacker out of Central Catholic in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, who Ole Miss offered along with his teammate, defensive tackle C.J. Thorpe. Earlier this week, and Dave put in his story last night, no Ole Miss connections, but it's not exactly true, is it, Sean? Can you kind of tell us a little bit about perhaps some Ole Miss connections with Central Catholic in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania?
Well, you know, I know Lockett's talked about Shea, but, you know, honestly, I'm just as proud as Sean and what he's doing up there for Ole Miss and behind the scenes and working and doing all the things he's doing. And, you know, Sean had a really good career at Duquesne University, 1AA, you know, Hall of Fame career. And the head coach at Pittsburgh Central Catholic is a very good friend of his. He coached at Duquesne. And, you know, Sean obviously reached out and you know, has that open pipeline to those guys, as well as, you know, he's been at LSU, he's been in Arizona to guys in California and in Louisiana and in the Midwest where he played at in Ohio. So I think you'll start to see a little bit more of that reaching out and him kind of, you know, getting with the coaches and, you know, using his contacts. But that's actually, Central Catholic is actually where my dad went to high school. So, and all my cousins and everyone else. So hopefully that pipeline, if we can get one or two of those kids, those are tough Steel City kids, you know, blue collar. And, you know, they won the state championship in Pennsylvania this year, so I was really happy to see that.
You know, it reminds me, any time you talk about Pennsylvania football, I'm reminded of this old movie, All the Right Moves with Tom Cruise. Remember that movie where he played for the fictional town of Ampipe? And I guess that stood for American Pipe. It was kind of an industrial steel-type town. But anytime you talk about Pennsylvania high school football, my mind always goes back to that movie.
Sure. And, you know, my dad was from Pittsburgh, so that's where our roots are at. That's where we have our family reunions, and, you know, we're big Steeler fans. And, you know, don't hold that against you. But you know, that's you know, it's good to see us, you know, have that in here and watch the young man's comments where, you know, he knows about us having a great recruiting class this year and being honored to have an offer from Ole Miss. And you know, I don't know if that's, you know, that's the new normal. You know, we're reaching out to different places and people respecting the program. So I was pretty excited to see that.
Awesome. Well, now that everything is done, Shea is at Ole Miss, are there any funny or kind of wild recruiting stories you can share with us about Shea? I mean, you know, anything crazy that happened along the way or things that you just won't forget about that process?
Well, I think the thing that you know, we'll sit back, and when you sit back and you go through this, it's such a whirlwind, as you know. And I don't know so much crazy, but in such a short time, you know, you got to sit down, and it's, you know, fans and people, you know, they wonder what these kids are doing, and, you know, they're 17, 18 years old, and, you know, I just know in a matter of months, you know, Shea, you have to sit down and, you know, just for an hour to sit down with Pat Hayden at USC. You know, here's a guy that played in the NFL, athletic director at USC, Rhodes Scholar, and then the next week, you know, you're with, you know, Brian Kelly, and you're leading the walkout for Notre Dame, and then, you know, the next thing you're doing is you're going over to, you know, whatever school in the SEC, and all this stuff happens so fast, and I'll never forget when Shea's coach told me when Shea was a freshman, and I was real excited about these offers, and of course Shea was too. He said, you know, I know you're excited right now, but it's going to get really, really crazy, and the hardest thing about this is you're going to have to tell everybody but one person no. Mm. You know, and he was right. And that's kind of the thing. It's such a whirlwind, and you meet so many great people. I mean, these guys aren't getting paid what they're getting paid, you know, not to be very, very special guys and great recruiters and good men. And that's the thing that, you know, hopefully if I ever get to go through this again, just sit back and enjoy it just a little bit more because it does go so fast. And there's a few stories I could probably tell you, but, you know, I'd have to kill you.
Well, let's keep those to yourself. Let's definitely do that. You know, Sean, and I got the opportunity to cover Shea for the longest of times, and you know, I remember his first trip he made to Oxford, and I remember a second trip that he made back up here, and I remember talking to him after he got through visiting at Ole Miss. And when we got through with the interview, and he was still committed to Arizona at the time.
Yes.
And he kind of looked at me and winked, and he said, "I really like Ole Miss. I really like Ole Miss." And I kind of got the feeling from that time forward that Ole Miss had kind of touched a special place in his heart. I mean, how soon was it that in his recruitment process did he kind of have a bead on thinking he would eventually end up in Oxford?
You know, I think that when, you know, Shea is a fierce competitor, yet off the field and, you know, around the house, he's pretty low key. And it's tough to find that in football as a player or a coach because, you know, it's such a high, you know, such a violent and, you know, tense situation all the time. And I mean, I've told the story before, but you know, the day that he sat down with Coach Freeze after the Auburn loss, and you know, saw Coach Freeze's demeanor, because that's exactly what Shea's demeanor would be if he was a coach, because he's always been taught, you know, control what you can control, and do the best you can, and you know, you control your mind, you control your actions, and I just saw that. You know, the kind of connection they had. And also Dan Werner, you know, isn't a yeller and a screamer, you know, as far as – he just kind of met Shea's personality. Then just the whole town and the way the people treated him, and it just fit Shea's personality. and it wasn't so much the football and, you know, what they ran and, you know, how many quarterbacks they were deep. And I never really had those conversations with Coach Freeze. It just, he felt like he was at home. You know, Shea has a very deep face, and, you know, that that was taken care of. And he just felt like he was home. So I would say, you know, after when Laquan got hurt, you know, from that moment on, I felt that he was going to Ole Miss.
Well, Dave, I don't want to hold up all the questions here. Any questions for Mr. Patterson?
Yeah, I do have one question in particular. And thank you for joining the show, by the way. You mentioned about Shea's competitiveness, and you know, that's something that really stood out to me watching him. Got to watch him firsthand at the Southern Elite, watching him, you know, on television competing in the U.S. Army All-American game. And it just seems like, you know, it's just so consistent, you know, his competitiveness. Where did that all transpire? Can you put it into perspective of just, you know, his competitiveness for the game?
You know, I think it's in everything he does. And I got to attribute a lot of that to his brother, Sean. And, you know, he's got two older sisters who are college athletes. And just being around all the time, you know, around the holidays, if you want to go to bed early, don't play a game of Shea, because you're not going to bed till he wins. I mean, it's just the way it is, and it's how he is. And you know, even when he practices, he's in a game within himself. He's just always been like that, you know. I mean, I don't think it's a good throw, but it was 6 inches off. And he's always battling himself and just trying to get perfect. And, you know, kind of one story, I mean, Shea's a really good baseball player. And, you know, his coach thought he had a chance to be drafted pretty high, you know, after his junior year. And in high school, we talked about it. And I just talked to Shea, and I said, what do you think, bud? Because, you know, I'm a dad, and I'd sure like to see him hit a baseball rather than get, you know, hit by linebackers. And he said, Dad, I just – don't think I can be the best player in the world in baseball, but I think that when I keep on working, I got a shot in football. And that's just how he thinks. It's just his mindset. It's not a cocky mindset. He's very humble about it, but he battles himself. And he's just had it since he's been real little. And, you know, I just think being the fourth of, you know, five kids, and he just always wanted to be the best.
Sean, talk to us a little bit about kid number five, Nick Patterson, eighth grader, and he's not a quarterback, but he's already getting some looks as a potential college football prospect. Tell us a little bit about Nick. And we got a chance to watch Nick last summer at the Southern Elite Combine in Oxford, and impressive young man.
You know, Nick is our baby. He's the fifth. We're not too much of an anxious to get his recruiting. We want him home. We're used to seven people being in the house. Now we're down to three. But thanks for asking about Nick. He played in the All-American game the night after Shea's game. He's played in it 2 years in a row in the Army game. And he's growing. You know, my dad was 6'8" and played with the Pistons. So Nick kind of looks like him. And, of course, Shea works him out. And Nick's probably lucky that he got me at 50 instead of 30, because I'm a little bit more mellow now. And he's a lot different than Shea as far as his work ethic. He's just coming along. But he's got a lot of talent and a lot of things. And he's kind of the clown of the family. So everyone loves to be around him. But he's going to have his moments, because you know, he's pretty special. And he's learned how to catch the ball with his hands, because if it hit in his chest, you know, Shea would knock him out. So he's really working at it, and you know, he's got a real good coach down here, Bobby Hall, and you know, I think he's got a chance. He keeps on growing, and we're just going to enjoy him and enjoy the process.
Well, Sean, I can't thank you enough for giving us a little bit of your morning this morning, and I promised I wouldn't keep you very long, so I'll hold true to that. But as always, my friend, I really appreciate it. Some great insight into the quarterback of the future for the Ole Miss Rebels, and that is five-star Shea Patterson, who you know, we've called him a recruit and a commit for so long, it's kind of hard to believe. 3 weeks now, he is on the team. Shea Patterson is an Ole Miss Rebel. And so, Sean, thank you for your time this morning, and I'm sure we'll talk very soon, and thank you for all that wonderful insight.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate everything.
Thank you.
Sean Patterson Sr., the father of Ole Miss quarterback Shea Patterson. That feels good to say, doesn't it? Ole Miss quarterback Shea Patterson. Not Ole Miss commit, not Ole Miss anything other than Ole Miss quarterback Shea
Five-star,
Patterson.
Yeah. It's Ole Miss quarterback Shea Patterson. I like it.
It has a nice ring to it right there. And his dad, Sean, is a wonderful guy. I'm going to tell you from a standpoint of covering recruiting. When you have a parent like Sean who is engaged in what his son is doing and doesn't mind talking to the media, it makes our job a whole lot easier. And that's a wonderful family there, the Pattersons. And Ole Miss is lucky to have them as a part of the football program. Shea's talents and skills aside, and again, you're starting to see his older brother Sean become more and more involved in the recruiting picture with the Rebels, and he certainly got the ability to be a very capable college football recruiter and eventually an on-the-field coach there. But we appreciate Sean giving us a little bit of his time this morning. Well, Dave, I'm going to toss it to you. Any closing thoughts right now involving Ole Miss athletics? What's on your mind? Okay, I must have lost Dave there. Well, that's okay because we were done anyway. Maybe Dave had a fire to go put out. So for Dave Bevin, I'm David Johnson. As always, we thank you for giving us a small part of your day to listen to us opine about Ole Miss athletics. And we'll sign it off as we always do with a great big old hotty-totty to you all. See you next time.